And we'll just jump right into this thing. And 2 Timothy, the third chapter, that in the last days there's going to be a falling away. Now, I think that that is taking place in the day in which you and I live. Some of the mainstream denominations, which at one time held close to the Scripture, have fallen away. They have come to a place that what the Scripture teaches is no longer important. But what society wants now has become the important thing in their lives. I think that there's some of the forefathers to the mainline denominations would turn over in their graves if they realize what's taking place in those denominations in the day in which you and I live and how they have gotten away from the Word of God. So 2 Timothy, the third chapter, look at verse 1. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Now, I mentioned this morning that the last days are those days from the time of the cross until the end of time, until the rapture of the church and then the glorious appearing. That time is the last days. And you and I are living in the last of the last days because these things are taking place right before our eyes. And so here is what the Scripture says. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. I was reading a little deal the other day when it talked about country folks and how country folks responded to things, and there was one little line in that really caught my attention, and it said, if you dishonor your mama, you get hit with something great big. Now, I don't know if you saw that or not, and there was a lot more to it than that. But we've come to a time that folks no longer believe that to be important. Now, I do, and you do. But the world, the lawless world, does not believe that is important. Without natural affection, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent. And no self-control is what that word means. Fierce, despisers of those that are good. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And so I've given you that list. But we've got another list in 2 Peter. So let's just keep turning to 2 Peter. That's got to be in here somewhere. They didn't move it, did they? Back up. Here we go. 2 Peter, the third chapter. And look at verse 3. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust. In those lists, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, no self-control, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And then, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And we're living in that day. We're there. In the book of Matthew, the 24th chapter, in verse 32 through verse 35, he mentions the fig tree and Israel. We read that this morning. Isaiah 66 in verse 8 talks about a nation that is born in a day. Those who study prophecy tell us that the putting forth of the leaves is a symbol of Israel becoming a nation. That took place in 1948. This generation shall not pass away till all these things be fulfilled, verse 34 says of Matthew 24. And a generation in Scripture is 50 years. And so I said this morning, and I believe it, that there's folks under the hearing of my voice will witness the coming of Christ, the rapture of the church. It may not happen in my day. I believe it probably will because of everything that is taking place. But I know that there's some of us, the older we get, the closer we get to the end. And we may not live to see the coming, the rapture of the church, but I believe that especially these young people who are sitting under my voice, if they live a full life, that they'll see the rapture of the church. And perhaps you and I will, who are here tonight. Perhaps we all will. Maybe he'll come tonight. Maybe he'll come tomorrow, the next day. But he will come and he will rapture the church and we'll be taken up. In 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, I want us to turn to that. They still, 1 Thessalonians 4, and I use this passage a lot during a funeral service, but I want us to look down at verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. I was reading a little bit this afternoon on what different folks thought about the rapture, and I read one little article that said the rapture is false teaching. Well, I don't know how in the world that you could read Thessalonians here and believe that the rapture is false teaching. How in the world people get that out of that? I don't. You know, I know that there was a time when men had different millennial views, and some folks thought that the world was just going to. Matter of fact, I had some college professors that thought that the world was just going to get better and better. And we were going to usher in the kingdom of God. Now they're not living now, but there is no way that you could live in the day in which you and I live in and believe that we're going to usher in the kingdom of God. We believe that Jesus is going to have to come. That the church is going to have to be raptured. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. But of the time and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction come upon them as travail upon a woman with child. And that's what Jesus was talking about in earlier part of the 24th chapter was the birth pains of the woman. And they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. But ye are not in darkness. And so we're to be ready. In the book of Zechariah, why don't we turn to that? If I can find it. Zechariah 14. In verse 1. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle. Has that taken place? Now, you know, Jerusalem has been the center of conflict all through history. But there's coming a time that absolutely every gun in the world will be pointed toward Israel. Had you ever thought that there would ever come a time when the leadership of our country was not too interested in being friends with Israel? And the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations, as when he fought in the day of battle. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. And there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove toward the north, and half of it toward the south. And ye shall flee to the valley of the mountains, for the valley of the mountains shall reach unto Azazel. Yea, and ye shall flee like as ye flee from before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. And the Lord my God shall come, and all the saints with thee. And it shall come to pass in that day that the light shall not be clear nor dark, but it shall be one day which shall be known to the Lord, not day nor night. But it shall come to pass that at evening time it shall be light. And it shall be in that day that living water shall go out from Jerusalem, half of them toward the former sea and half of them toward the hinder sea, in the summer and in the winter shall it be. There is a verse a little farther down in verse 12, when he talks about destruction. And this shall be the plague wherewith the Lord will smite all the people that have fought against Jerusalem. Their flesh shall consume away while they stand upon their feet, and their eyes shall consume away in their holes, and their tongue shall consume away in their mouth. They tell me that the hydrogen bomb is 150 million degrees Fahrenheit in 1/1,000,000th of a second. That's a description of what takes place, or what took place, when the bomb was dropped on Japan. In Matthew 24, verses 4 and verse 5, Jesus said that there would be great deception in those last days of false Christ. And there's been many of them. I've listed some of them there for you. Jim Jones, David Koresh, the Baha religion, who believe that Christ has already come in the spirit of Baha. In verse 11, he says, many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. False Christ, false prophets, and they'll show great signs and wonders. Two last verses, or passages. 2 Timothy, the second chapter. What? Thessalonians. Excuse me, it does say Thessalonians, don't it? That'll make a big difference. 2 Thessalonians. My wife has finally decided to say something. when I got on the wrong verse. Saved me some embarrassment, maybe her. 2:7. But we were gentle among you. Wait, I'm supposed to be in. That didn't sound right, did it? We weren't talking about gentle, were we? 2:7. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. I talked about that a little bit this morning. I believe that there's two possibilities there. I think that the church is going to be taken out of the way, and that's what is holding back iniquity. But also I think that the Holy Spirit is going to be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Have you read that in Revelation? Something that I've really enjoyed about an iPad that my wife got me a couple of years ago is that I've been able to, after I've gone to bed, is to set that up on the night table and punch in what I want to listen to as far as Scripture goes. And I've been listening to Revelation over and over and over again. And listening to how the Lord talks about what's going to take place in the last days and at His coming. And the destruction just by the word of His mouth will destroy His enemies. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonder, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Is that a hard verse? That people who have got their mind made up to turn against the Lord, to not follow Jesus, that God's going to make it even easier for them not to follow. That seems hard to me. Let me close with Matthew 7. Verse 15. The Lord's word is filled with warnings of what you and I are to be cautious about. And I don't know about you, but it seems to me like that the more I learn about the Scripture, the less I know. And the more I study, the harder it gets. And the more questions I have that are unanswerable or unanswered. But he warns us over and over again about these days in which we live. And he says in verse 15, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are raving wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? What is it that is coming out of their life? What are they producing? A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, have we not, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. Do you see that? Do you see what could be taking place in religious circles that would appear to be the real thing? But we have to have a spiritual eye to be able to detect what is real and what is not real. And that we cannot just go by what folks say or how charismatic they act or speak, but what is the fruit that is coming out of their life. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. The Lord's Word is filled with warnings for us of the last days. And I think that what we have to do as a church is to constantly be on our guard with teachers, with preachers, with people that would come and join our church or be a part of our fellowship. What they believe and what they teach has to be the correct thing. Has to come out of the Word of God. Has to be backed up by the Word of God. And if it can't be, then we need to be suspicious. We need to stand our guard and stand our ground. I think the way that you take care of that is that, for one thing, you do not give that individual any place of responsibility. But you just keep pounding the Word, keep pounding the Word, and keep pounding the Word as people come. Lyle would have said at this point, I'm through. So I'm going to ask you to join me here at front, and let's pray. Yeah.